Started. Appreciate you being here. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for many blessings. Guide, lead, and direct in all things. We pray for your will to be done. We pray that the Word of God will go forth and bring fruit the way that you would have it to do. Lord, those that aren't saved, we pray they would get saved before it's eternally too late. Those of us that are saved, help us to live for thee all of our days. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Turn to Luke chapter 8, please. I am teaching through, preaching through, doing something through Luke. And we're in Luke chapter 8, Luke chapter 8, verse 1. These are examples of those who loved much. So we're going to go ahead and go back. We're in Luke 8, but we're going to go back to verse 47 of Luke 7 and see what it says. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. To whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. That verse 47, to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. You know what the problem may be with you and me and most people is we really don't realize how big our sins are. The smallest of sins, the little white lie you told, could have sent Jesus to the cross and did send Jesus to the cross. It isn't how big your sin's in. She was a sinner by trade. She was a prostitute. And that's why it said she's a sinner. She brought the alabaster box. She loved Jesus. She took her hair and she wiped his feet as the tears came down. And you can imagine what it's like being in the desert with those dirty, nasty feet. You say, oh, it's Jesus. He had clean feet. No, he had dirty feet that showed the dust and the muck and the mire of living out in that type of, in that area of the world. But in chapter 8 it says, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. I'd stop there for a second and just say, are you with him? Is he with you? The 12 were with him. Where are you in relation to him? Are you with Jesus, and is Jesus with you? That's what you've got to ask yourself. In verse 2, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. You look at these women and you see Mary Magdalene, 7 devils were in her that were cast out. Can you imagine what that's like? I've seen it. I've been to not so much America, because I really haven't been into some of those places, but they are here in America. But you go to some of these foreign countries and you get down in there and you get, I've been in the jungles, 500 miles in the jungles of Venezuela, and I've been to Mexico and China and you name it, you know, been there, done that. But you get in there and sometimes you'll see some spiritual things that you don't really see in America much. We're not a Christian nation, but we were founded upon Christian principles. Even those that weren't Christian believed in the principles of the Bible and lived those principles out. And it made a difference in this country. The reason we are getting so far, so fast, and away from God is because we've rejected those principles that are in the Bible. Churches are rejecting them. Can you imagine if I have a wedding here and I say, well, you know you were a man, but now you're a woman and you're going to marry this woman that whatever she was, he was, they were. And I'm going to do that ceremony in this church? No way. Not going to happen. What if the government says you have to? Won't happen. What if they say they're going to arrest you? Might happen. But I'm not going to compromise. I am praying right now about going Thursday to Tallahassee. And they have a bill before them that talks about all of this and the protections and what your ID card in Florida is allowed to say. And do you know there's only one person speaking against it? Robert Sutton, who was here preaching, he is in Tallahassee, and he is the only one that's speaking against it. And you know what'll happen? They're gonna turn out the multitudes to speak against, I'm sorry, he is for the bill and against what's going on.
And they're going to be speaking against the bill. The multitudes will. And what I'll do is I'll get up at, 5:30, 6 in the morning and drive over there and go and speak before the committee and just, let her rip and say, listen, this is what's right. This is what's wrong. I need your prayers. Number one, that I can have the fortitude to go over there, meaning I wake up and I go. And two, that if I do go, I say the right thing. We've got to stand up and be heard. We've got to shout from the housetops. You look at it and you say, well, they're not hurting anybody. They want to indoctrinate your children. They want to indoctrinate the next generation. Don't tell me they're not hurting anybody. But here are these women. One of them had a devil. Seven devils cast out. And they ministered unto him of their substance. You remember the story of the prodigal son? The Bible says that he lived in riotous living and wasted his substance, really his father's substance. Took his inheritance, went out there, played the fool, and took his substance and wasted it on pleasures of this life. Here are these women, they're ministering unto him of their substance. That's what we need to do. We need to minister to others with our substance. What is your substance? Oh, you're thinking money probably. What about your time? What about your talents? What about those things? Those are your substance also. Do you have time? Make it. Do you have things that you can help others with? Do it. We've got to be engaged in this community, engaged in our state, engaged in the country, and say we're going to make a difference. This church right here needs to make a difference in this city. If we don't, why not? Oh, well, the city's evil, the county's evil, the state's evil, the country's evil, the world's evil. Well, great, great news there. And guess what Jesus did? He came to an evil world and he gave the gospel out. He came to an evil world and he healed people and he helped people. And we need to be helping people. Verse 4, it goes on, he said, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And he sowed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside and was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. If you see that it was sown by the wayside, it never sprung up fully. That's what happens to some people. Verse 6, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. The washing of the water by the word. The Bible talks about it being water that feeds you, that takes care of you, that nourishes you. And some fell among thorns, verse 7, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other, thankfully there is an other, fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know what you need? You need ears to hear. You know what I need? I need ears to hear from God. I'm not saying when I stand up here, I've got the oracles of God, and when I speak, I'm speaking in God, and when you hear me, you hear God. When I read the Bible, you ought to hear God. When I speak the truth, you ought to attribute it to God. If it's truth, attribute it to me if it's a mess. That's fine. I got no problem with that. I told somebody the other day, I said, listen, if it goes well, we were putting these, one of the guys came in, I got him off the airplane on a ladder. Stuck him up there and he knew what he was doing. Then he got up there and we're scraping it off and doing that. And he said, well, I hope it's not crooked. I said, well, look, here's the way I work. If it's crooked, I'll take credit. Like that one over there is a little crooked. Don't stare at it, but it's a little crooked. I made it crooked. I said, but if it's straight, I'll give you all the credit. I'm going to tell you what, that's straight and it looks good. And I had help and I thank Brother Zenker for helping me do that. This one I probably shouldn't have gotten involved in because it got a little crooked. But it was my first attempt. My first attempt. Some fell on good ground. He said, do you have ears to hear? Let them hear. You know, the Bible says in Mark chapter 4, I want you to go ahead and turn over there because I think you need to see this. The Bible talks a lot about hearing. What ye hear. How ye hear. probably when you hear too. But in Mark chapter 4, verse 24, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given." You may think, well, I don't get a lot out of the Bible. Well, maybe because you're not hearing. What does it say? It says, take heed what ye hear. You need to be careful what you put in your ears, because that ear will affect your heart. He says, take heed what ye hear, and unto you that hear more shall be given. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You read this Bible, and the Bible says basically you get more if you put more into it. Read your Bible, let God speak to your heart, and listen to what He says. Listen, I don't get up here. I used to say, well, the Lord told me, and I realized that's a bad statement. Here's why. You come up to me and you say, well, I'd like to do this. Well, the Lord told me. You can't argue with that, can you? If the Lord told me, you got to do what I meant. It's equal to the Bible. Well, that isn't what we mean. What we mean is the Lord spoke to our hearts. So I don't want you to get real super critical on people. You may hear me say it again. I try not to. I may say, well, the Lord impressed upon my heart. I believe the Lord impressed upon my heart is a better way to say it. In other words, you don't want to lead people into thinking, well, and you know, you get this. Well, you know, there's these prophets today, and they get up and they say, well, you know, the Lord spoke to me and He told me to send you this message right here. I heard somebody do that the other day, and I'm like, boy, that's dangerous. Boy, that's dangerous. The Lord doesn't tell me to tell you what to do. I mean, be saved. I just read the Bible. Yeah, that's true. But He doesn't tell me to tell you what type of car to buy, where to go on vacation, what house to build, how many rooms in your house. He doesn't tell me that stuff. You know what He tells me? He tells me to preach the Word and let you understand you have liberty to communicate directly with Him, and that He will guide you and lead you and direct you, and He won't lead you astray. He won't forsake you. He'll be there for you all the time. That's what He tells me to do. But He doesn't tell me how to run your life. He doesn't tell me how to micromanage others' lives. If He did, I wish He would just go ahead and micromanage my life. But He doesn't even do that. He gives us liberty. He gives us direction. But we have a free will to choose. You can choose to serve God, or you can choose to go your own way, the way of the world, the way of the devil, the way of the flesh. You can choose to do that, and you will reap the consequences. And then when you do, you can't look at God and say, God, why? And actually, you can say that. But the answer is because you're reaping what you sow. If you don't want to reap bad things, don't do bad things. You want to reap good things? Do good things. That's what you're supposed to do. So it goes on, it says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then verse 9, and His disciples asked Him, saying, what might this parable be? You see, when He spoke in parables, they didn't have the Word of God to go, well, I know what it is. I know what the good ground is. I know what the wayside is. I know what the rock and the thorns. Here's the interpretation. No, there is no private interpretation of the Bible. Here's a parable. You want to know what it means? He tells you what it means. You don't have a right to privately interpret the Bible. You don't have a right to change the Bible. You have a right to believe the Bible, what it says, and leave it alone. We don't need it rewritten. We need it reread. That wasn't original with me, but it sure sounded good at the moment. Verse 10. And He said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, and seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. You see, I'm back in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 10. And He said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. He told His disciples, it's given to you to know. Do you know He said the same thing to us? As a Christian, it's given to you to know. The only reason you and I might not know is because we don't put in the time to find out what He says. I want to know God. I want to have a personal relationship with Him. I want to draw nigh unto Him so that he will draw nigh unto me. That's what the Bible says. If he's not drawing nigh unto you and he seems distant, it's because you haven't made the move to him. You make the move to him, he promises to come to you. Wow! Glory! Hallelujah! That's what I want. So he goes on and he says, listen, they're only gonna hear parables, but I'm gonna explain the parable to you. So he starts explaining the parable, verse 11. Now the parable is this. So let me ask you, where's the interpretation? Right here. No private interpretation. I'm not gonna tell you what I think. I'm not even gonna tell you what I believe. I'm gonna read the Bible and let the Bible tell you what it means. He goes on. The seed is the Word of God. So what's the seed? It's the Word of God. It's the Bible. It's the Scripture. It's God's Word. That's what the seed is. Now guess what? We got three problems with a seed and one good thing with a seed. That tells you the majority is never going to get it. The majority, according to the Bible says it's wide that leadeth unto destruction and few there be that find it. That is the way to life. The way to life is narrow. Few there be that find it. But many which go in thereat talking about hell. Say, well, I don't like that. I don't either. You know what I say to you? If you don't like it, do something about it. Talk to somebody about Jesus. Tell them that Jesus died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. You too can be saved by simply trusting in Him, believing on Him. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. For by grace he is saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a gift, a free gift, that God gives salvation to anybody that will come to him, believe in him, trust in him, and he will forgive all of your sins. All of them. Past, present, future. All of them. Glory to God. So now we figured out, because we read the Bible, that when he was talking about a sower, and he was talking about seed, he is not literally talking about somebody going out planting something. Except they are planting the Word of God. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You plant the seed in your heart. By the way, when you go out witnessing, you know what you do? You plant seed. You know what else you might do? You might water the seed. You know what's a real blessing sometimes? You get to reap the seed. God lets you be around whenever it comes to fruition. Boy, that's glorifying. Verse 12. Those by the wayside. So when you go back and you look at verse 5, he talked about some went by the wayside. They are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. You know what? This Bible will get in your heart. But it can't be a stony heart. It has to be a heart that receives the Bible, receives the word. If it's not, the Bible says that the devil will come, he'll take it away. He'll take the word out of their hearts. It got there. But it didn't stay. I hope that's not you. I hope you aren't one of the ones that is by the wayside where the Word of God goes out and you go, oh man, I'm so excited about God. And you walk out these doors and you get home and it's like, man, I was never even at church. It never made a difference to me. I don't care. I'm going to do my own thing. That's the wayside. The devil comes and he steals it out of your heart. It's your choice. It's your choice what type of ground you're going to be. Verse 13. They on the rock. This is just intellectual here. They which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root. Which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. In time of temptation they fall away. Listen, I don't want my heart to be like a rock. I don't want my soul, my life, my being to be like a rock. I don't want it to be like the wayside either, but I don't want it to be like a rock. And he goes on in verse 14, and they which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. No fruit. I've got to ask you, do you have any fruit? You do. Some good, some bad. When he says no fruit, he's talking about good fruit. He's talking about lasting fruit. He's talking about where when you meet people, you impact them for the glory of God. I want to be like that. I want to talk to people. I want them to know, listen, there's something different about you. I heard somebody say that this week. What was that? Is it over there? Hey. Oh, this sign? Oh, wow. Ellie. That's my heart right now. That's probably really good on that. Wow, that was pretty wild. He says, but. He says, but in verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Some of you probably have your heart beating pretty fast. I was like, what in the, I was thinking it was back here, but I didn't feel anything hit me. Woo! He talks about the good ground. Wouldn't you know, I'm talking about the bad stuff, I get to the good stuff, and that happens right there. And it's like, look, the devil doesn't want you to be focused on the good ground. He wants your life to be good ground. Are you good ground? Does God get in there and straighten out those furrows? Does he plant that seed and does he water it and does he nourish it and you let him? Remember, you got a choice. You can choose. You get to choose whether to serve God or serve self. Serve God, serve the devil. Serve God, serve the world, the flesh. You get to choose that. But you're going to reap. Here's the good ground. He talks about it, he says, with patience. You know why you have to have patience with the good ground? As soon as you get in the good ground, something's going to happen. The devil's going to come in there and he's going to try to steal that out. He's going to try to put thorns in there. He's going to try to say, no, you're on the wayside. You're not on the good ground. He's going to put doubts in your mind. He's going to put thoughts in your head. He's going to make you think that you're worthless. I promise you, you're not. Everybody has a purpose in this life. What your job and my job is finding that purpose, finding God's plan, fulfilling that purpose, and fulfilling that plan. That's what I want to do. In verse 16, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. You want to make a difference? Let people see your light. Let your light so shine, the Bible says, that they may see your good works and glorify not you, but your Father in heaven. Can people see your good works? Can they see your light? For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. Remember, I took you to Mark and it said, take heed what ye hear. Now it says, take heed how you hear. You, if I give you the Bible and you doubt, you got the how wrong. You may got the what right. You're listening to the Bible. Well, I hear the Bible. That's good. Yeah, you got the what right, but you got the how wrong. You got to make sure you take heed how ye hear, what ye hear. You got to make sure that you let that Bible work in your heart and nurture you up to bring you to where you need to be as a Christian. He says in verse 18 again, take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. You can lose it all. Look at that. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given. So you have a responsibility. If you want to understand God, you've got to start understanding God. And then to him that hath, more shall be given. But you got to get on the right path. You can't go, well, I'm just going to get it by osmosis. It's just going to happen. It's not going to happen. You have to make a determined effort that you want to know God. And if you don't make that determined effort, you won't know God, and you won't be one of the ones that hath, to him shall be given. And then he goes on and he says, whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. You seem to have something, you'll lose it. You'll lose it. Look at chapter 8, verse 8. Chapter 8, verse 8 again. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He that hath ears, you say, well, everybody's got ears. Almost everybody probably does. But this is talking about what the purpose of the ears are for, the hearing. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You don't need to get in the way of somebody else hearing. You need to make sure you're not a stumbling block for others. I would hate to be a stumbling block. I've watched people go into life and they just make a mess of it, and then others look at it and go, it's all fake. None of it's real. None of it's true. None of it's legitimate. No, it's real. But we get our eyes off of God and put them on man. We can't do that. You get your eyes off of God and you put it on women. You can't do that. You've got to keep your eyes looking up. If you keep looking up and you keep looking for the Lord and you keep expecting His return, He will help you to live a life that is pleasing to Him. You need to be looking for Him every day. Every morning when you get up, expect His return that day. If you thought Jesus was coming back tomorrow and you woke up in the morning and you said, somehow you knew, somehow you're right, Jesus is coming back today, how would that change your day? Now, I know all of you would take a vacation day, or you'd lie and call a sick day, and none of you would lie on the last day. But you would try to do everything you could to make a difference. You'd try everything you could to finish well, to go out well. Why? Well, because Jesus is coming back today. You ought to be that way every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, etc. Every day. You wake up in the morning, Jesus could come back today. Well, how should I behave? How ought I to behave? I just didn't sound right. Yeah, I was speaking Bible. I was speaking English. Remember when I first came, I told Barbara, I said, yeah, something about English. She said, oh, you don't speak English over here. You guys speak American. And we do. Sometimes I don't even speak that. Look at verse 19. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. Now let me ask you something. Who's his mother? Mary. Did Jesus have brothers? Then why do churches teach he didn't have any brothers or sisters? And he has sisters too in another verse. Oh, they were his cousins. No, the Bible says cousins when it's cousins. His mother and his brethren came. But look at why they couldn't come to him. This is interesting. And could not come at him for the press. What do we call it? Now we know they were packed in, so the press. But you know, spiritual application is the media. You know what's stopping a lot of people from coming to Jesus is the negativity of the press. The lying, deceiving, destructive forces behind those that reportedly report the stories. No, they don't report stories. They make them up. They are the story. That's not the way it's supposed to be in the media. But they couldn't come because of the press. And a lot of people that are stopped because of the press. But take it a little further. What about you? Do you interfere with people coming to Jesus because of the way that you live, what you do, how you are? Don't be the one that interferes with people coming to Jesus. But they couldn't come because of the press. And he goes on and he says, it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. You want to be a family member of Jesus? Hear the word of God and do it. The Bible says in James 1:2, don't be just hearers, be doers of the word. We need doers. We need people that will hear the word of God and it will make a difference in their life. It will make a difference not only in their lives, but in their lives of their family, in the lives of their community, in the lives of all those that they can influence. They hear the word of God and they do it. And then Jesus is going to go down in a ship. Verse 22, now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples and he said unto them, let us go over on the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. You say, well, a lake? Yeah, this is a big lake. It's not just this little, you know, little lake that storm comes over and, you know, you're at the side already. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Jeopardy means they have a hazard, exposure to death, or peril for sure. So I want you to keep that in mind. They were in jeopardy. So I don't want you to think they were imagining. These guys are fishermen. They've been on some rough seas. But they're in jeopardy, the Bible says. It must have been a pretty bad storm. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose, rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Boy, I like those words. There was a calm. You ever get so wrapped up in life that nothing seems to calm you? Go to Jesus. He wants to hear from you. They were in jeopardy. It doesn't say that they just imagined it was really, really bad. No, they woke up Jesus because they were in jeopardy, but they'd been around him a little while. And what did Jesus do? Well, he just stayed asleep. It's almost like a God sleep. You ever get one of those? You know, just... nothing wakes you up. Nothing bothers you. Wake up refreshed the next day. That's some good sleep. But he got up and he rebuked the winds and the raging of the water, and it ceased and there was calm. Do you know why you don't have calm enough in your life? Is because you don't look for Jesus. And you don't ask Him to control your life. And you don't get Him engaged in every moment, every decision. That's what you need to do. It's what I need to do. I like calm. I don't like turbulence. I don't like bickering, fighting, negativity, hatred. Go to Jesus, and even in all of that, He can calm your heart. He calmed the storm. You don't think He can help you? Sure He can. He can help you to accomplish things in your life that you think are impossible. He can give you the calm that all of us want. But he goes on in verse 25. He said unto them, where is your faith? Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? That's not a question. That's an exclamation point. For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. I think there's a song we sing. It's a pretty upbeat song. You know, the wind and the waves, they obey him. Gary, look in the back. Do you know this? Anybody know that song? Look in the back at Luke 8:25, where the verses are in the back, the appendix, and see if it jumps off the page. He said, "What they said, what manner of man is this?" Not a question. He commands your fears to be calmed if you submit to him. If you'll submit to him. See, where is your faith? Why was he questioning their faith? Because it was misplaced faith. It was faith that turned to fear. Don't let your faith turn to fear. Either fear will replace faith or faith will replace fear. You only got one or the other. You can't have both. You're either going to have fear in your life or you're going to have faith. And with the faith, you'll have calm. And with the calm, you'll have a peace and a joy and a contentment like no other. I want that calm. I've had that calm. Other than that thing falling, I have that calm today. That was a loud noise. I just keep thinking, I hope it's not bent. I hope it's not bent. I want that calm. Do you want that calm? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Do you have a misplaced faith? Is your faith being replaced by fear? Or is your fear going to be replaced by faith? It's one or the other. You don't get both. You either got fear or you got faith. Let's all stand together. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray right now that, Lord, we would be people of faith. That we will not allow ourselves to fear and be affrighted by the things of this world, by the things of the devil, by things that we don't understand. Lord, we need you to help us to put faith in place of the fear. In Jesus' name, amen. With your head bowed and eyes closed. If God's spoken to you in some way, listen, the altar's always open. You can come here and you can pray. Pray where you are. Just ask God to help you to be what you need to be for Jesus Christ. He'll do it. He'll do it. Ask Him to help you right now. Say, I don't want to be the rock or the thorns or the wayside. I want to be the good ground. Ask Him right now for your heart to be the good ground. Where when the Word of God is placed there, it's been placed there today. I've read enough scripture where the Word of God's gone out. Is it hitting good ground? Or is it hitting rock and thorns and by the wayside? Ask yourself those questions. Do something about it.